Last week on Come Receive the Light, we talked at length about original sin and God's reaction.
God's disposition did not change towards us. It was our disposition which changed towards Him. So in the simplest way, God doesn't change. His disposition doesn't change. It's always one of mercy and loving kindness.
If you missed that conversation, I encourage you to listen on our website at myocn.net. And this week, in many ways, we continue that discussion. First, through the thoughts and writings of one of the world's most prolific and widely read authors.
As a Christian myself, I tend to see him as more orthodox than others do. Just generally, he draws on orthodox traditions. He keeps company with orthodox priests. He was a member of a society designed to disseminate orthodoxy in the 1870s. He was proud of and defended orthodox traditions and ideas.
And you'll find out who that author is in just a moment. We'll also progress from last week's interview about original sin by talking this week about teaching the fundamental understandings of the Christian faith to both adults and children.
Most adults, especially if you're working, are accustomed to being taught in a way so that they can do their jobs better. And so at the end of the sessions of education, the adult is hoping, more often than not, to put the learning into practice in some way.
Welcome to another weekly edition of our broadcast we call Come Receive the Light, one of the many ways in which we reach out from the Orthodox Christian Network, or OCN. On the web at myocn.net and on Facebook, Twitter, and Google+. I'm Mike Trout, and our host is Father Christopher Metropoulos, the president of Hellenic College and Holy Cross School of Theology in Brookline, Massachusetts. The darker the night, the brighter the stars. The deeper the grief, the closer to God. The mystery of human existence lies not in just staying alive, but in finding something to live for. To love someone means to see them as God intended them. Quotes from the writings of a man who is the focus of our first conversation today. Here's Father Chris.
Fyodor Mikhailovich Dostoevsky is perhaps the most widely read Orthodox novelist of all time. His books, which have been translated into more than 170 languages, are enjoyed by people all over the world from all manner of cultural backgrounds. With us today to talk about this great treasure of Orthodoxy is Professor Elizabeth Blake, who is the Assistant Professor of Russian at St. Louis University. Welcome, Professor Blake. Nice to have you on the program.
Thank you for inviting me here today to discuss my favorite author.
Well, I've already mentioned that our author is immensely popular. What first interested you in Dostoevsky?
Well, the same summer I was reading Crime and Punishment for the first time for an AP English class way back when. My interest in Russia was piqued by a Georgetown University International Relations summer program that focused on Russia. I then went to the College of William and Mary, majored in French and Russian studies. I had decided to go into politics or diplomacy, but I really enjoyed my courses in political philosophy and French and Russian literature. I remember being fascinated with Camus' discussion of judgment and guilt in the fall. So I knew that I would pursue it as one of my majors as a language and literature focus in graduate school. And I read his major novels already, Crime and Punishment, The Idiot, Brothers Karamazov. I had bought several volumes of Joseph Frank's well-known biography of Dostoevsky and had already read it, so I knew that Dostoevsky was going to be my passion.
Well, the books you're mentioning, especially Crime and Punishment, is one that almost every high school student, if not earlier years of college, read. I know that. Tell me, though, what you see as a scholar. What is the hook? What is it that makes his book or books so relevant to today? Why are so many people drawn to it?
Well, I think that he's so appealing in his novels because he doesn't really make life sound any easier than it is. He doesn't tell us that we have to be perfect and that life has to be happily ever after. He doesn't necessarily believe in progress and civilization because they can create bloodthirsty Napoleons who are worse than barbarians. He, of course, is known for his exploration of the human personality because he's a psychological realist, and he understands that we have many dark moods and impulses, many of them not very honorable. And the same person who can create the underground man can also create the beautiful visionary Prince Mishkin. I think that he just covers a vast range of human experiences that enable us to explore them together with him.
He's a realist. He's a realist. He talks to it. He talks to the person as if he's on ground and not some pie in the sky. He's actually dealing with real issues, isn't he?
Right.
Let's turn to Dostoevsky himself. What do you know about him as a person?
Well, I know a lot about him, but I can give you a rundown of his life. He was born in Moscow in 1821. He was the second son of a doctor. He went to school, a military engineering academy in St. Petersburg, and decided to remain in the city after he graduated. And it's there where he participates in a circle known as the Petrushevsky Circle. And he is arrested for conspiracy after having read a work of banned literature. And so he undergoes a mock execution in St. Petersburg and is sent to Siberia for 4 years in the prison camp to live with common convicts and political prisoners. And so after his Siberian period, he returns to St. Petersburg and starts a literary political journal known as Time with his brother. So soon after this, he has a second marriage. He leaves Russia in 1867 for 4 years. And during this time period, he experiences the West. So one thing I write about a little bit in my book is that he actually spends a good deal of time away from Russia's two capital cities, St. Petersburg and Moscow, first in Siberia and then later 4 years approximately in the West. And this is another way in which I think that he introduces a richness to his novels. He lives in a multilingual and diverse environment. So after he returns to Russia in 1871, he becomes a kind of public intellectual. He enjoyed success with Diary of a Writer and his final novel, The Brothers Karamazov. He gives lectures. He meets with students periodically and continues working on his writing. And he likes to write at night. So he gives a very famous speech at a Pushkin monument in 1880, where he talks about Pushkin's contribution to Russian culture and Russia's all-unifying spirit, which is very popular with the audience and even makes him feel like a prophet. And then he dies in early 1881.
Well, it's been very interesting to have you on the program, Professor Blake. Thank you so much for shedding the light on this truly famous author. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much for inviting me today.
To learn more about Fyodor Dostoevsky, look for Dr. Elizabeth Blake's book in our online bookstore at myocn.net. That's myocn.net. Our bookstore links through to Amazon, and any purchase you make on Amazon through the OCN website generates a donation back to this nonprofit ministry. What a great way to help support our efforts. Again, look for the bookstore link on our homepage at myocn.net. And you can also link to the bookstore through our Facebook page. You're listening to Come Receive the Light, one of many media outreaches from OCN, the Orthodox Christian Network, designed to introduce you to the original Orthodox Christian faith. It is our prayer that any link you might make to us will strengthen your faith and draw you closer to God and His Son, Jesus Christ. When you go to our website, click on either the Listen, Read, Watch, or Learn links there on the homepage. Now, some of the words and phrases you come across may seem strange, but I think that's simply because of our Greek roots for this ministry. Again, the website is myocn.com. .net. Also, when you go to the website, take a few extra seconds and open our contact page and let us know that you visited us. If you have any questions, you can ask them right there. That's myocn.net. www.dharmaseed.net.
Do you know a lot about your faith? Many of us think we do, but that may not be the case.
And now with our feature conversation, here is OCN Media Lab team member, Bryce Buffenbarger.
We have Dr. Tony Vrain with us today. He is the director of the Department of Religious Education for the Greek Orthodox Archdiocese and associate professor at Holy Cross Greek Orthodox School of Theology. Tony has done extensive research and writing on Orthodox Christian religious education, as well as parish life and ministry. We've asked him to speak with us about teaching the faith to the whole family. Welcome, Dr. Vrain.
Thank you.
Can you tell us how we might teach the Orthodox faith in the midst of the current cultural climate?
Well, sure. It's not just even about our current cultural climate. I think this would be a rule or practice at any time that, in a very simple phrase, that we go from life to faith to life. It's how Christ taught himself. He started by talking to people, very simply asking, what's going on? What are you talking about? And it was in that context that he introduces the message of the gospel. And then what do you do with that? And so we need to do the same. We need to find out what's going on in people's lives and how do we make the connection to that in terms of our Orthodox Christian faith, tradition, and way of life, as I like to call it. And then after we've learned about it and talked about it, we say, what are we going to do with that? And put it into action in some way, shape, or form. I mean, that's a very, very simple way, and we're going to explore more over the call with that, but I think that's the basic approach, life to faith to life.
So could you tell us what you see to be some of the potential setbacks when speaking specifically to adults about faith issues?
Well, sure. The challenge with most of the adults in our communities today, and again, of course, this is a general rule that won't apply to everyone, of course,
sure,
is that most of us are not as well-informed about the Orthodox faith and way of life. Either we didn't have the opportunity for Christian education as children and young adults, or we've forgotten those lessons, which is probably a big piece of it, or in some cases we maybe even poorly catechized. What we were taught wasn't all that substantive. And so that has created a lot of, lack of knowledge in our churches and in our people. And when we have done this, what we tend to talk about are things that are more theologically abstract, such as doctrines of the Trinity, doctrines about the Mother of God, which are important, of course, and we need to know those things, but frequently they're not about things that people ask a great deal of questions about. You know, we spend a lot of time talking about liturgical stuff in our parishes. Why? And the example I love is, why do we put bells on a censer in the Orthodox practice? And at the end of the day, when we're faced with a crisis in our life or in our world, few of us are wondering about bells and censers in light of those. So we've not done a particularly good job of making this connection between life and faith very well. And of course, when we get out into the real world, the sources around us, media, internet, all that kind of stuff, really kind of blur the lines frequently. Opinions become facts, and people set up, and so that really gets challenging to kind of wade through all of those kinds of details. And adults are perfectly capable of doing that when we work with them as adults.
Sure. And in light of these challenges that we are presented with on a daily basis, what resources does the Department of Religious Education have for continuing education?
Well, our job is to be a kind of a distributor and creator of things. And so we're constantly looking for, and we have in our resource catalogs, and we try to promote them in other ways, lots of books and resources that can be used for adult education programs. Most of it's books, things people read. That is still how a lot of us get our information that we make available to people. We spend time trying to wade through and vet them to see if they're any good, if we like them, if we think it's appropriate to us as Orthodox, if it fits the niche that we're serving. therefore not too highly academic or too expensive, things like that. And we just try to make it available. So in general, it's, you know, everything from introductions about the Orthodox faith to some specialized topics or the latest kind of round of literature that are being created by people out in the field. And so we try to keep away from things that you could go and find online easily, and we try to specialize in things that are a little trickier to find or we think have benefit in a parish adult program.
Now, you know a lot about education. You have a PhD in education. You're the director of the Department of Religious Education. You have a lot of experience teaching adults. So could you give us some tips, whether to priests or maybe to lay people who are leading Bible studies or even people who want to kind of educate themselves? What are some tips you have for educating adults?
Well, it's going to go back to the life, faith, life model that I said at the outset. But the tips in terms of practical practices of working with adults are, first and foremost, talk to the adults in the community that you want to teach and you want to work with. Adults have a great capability that we sometimes forget about when it comes to education, is that they can tell us what they want. So we need to ask them, what do they know? What do they want to know? And what are they really concerned about and passionate about? And then from there, you kind of, quote unquote, build the curriculum, build the program to kind of answer the questions that they have. So first and foremost, it's about talking to them and figuring it out from there. Secondly, remembering they're adults. They walk into an adult setting with a great deal of life experience, both in just through their maturation as people, their work, their careers, their family lives, all of these kinds of things, their marriages, of course, if they're married, that they can bring to the table. And adults usually want to talk about those experiences in light of matters of study and faith. So you have to create the time and energy around letting people talk about those experiences. Third, you have to be practical about it. Most adults, especially if you're working, are accustomed to being taught in a way so that they can do their jobs better. Most of adults' education is about taking on some new role that they're playing either in their jobs or in their lives. And so at the end of the sessions of education, the adult is hoping, more often than not, to put the learning into practice in some way. A simple example is, you know, all of us have our jobs, and we go into a training session to learn a new piece of software that our companies have just purchased. And at the end of the training session, you're supposed to leave the office and be able to start using it. So it's that kind of practical application that adults are frequently looking for in the adult education work that we're doing with them. And that's going to drive even the topics that we work with them on. What are the life roles that they're now dealing with? Are they new parents, caring for aging parents, adults who are caring for aging parents and managing their personal lives at the same time? Are they taking on new ministries within the life of our church, whether it's a parish council member or it's a youth worker who's responsible for understanding the Orthodox faith? All these kinds of things then become practical applications and can drive working with adults as adults, helping them understand their experiences, and then finally putting it into practice.
Excellent. Well, let's take this and use it to tackle a contemporary issue. So There are many Americans who don't want to accept refugees until maybe we end homelessness in our country or deal with all the security issues. Or perhaps they might want to limit the refugees to only Christians.
Right.
How can we teach adults the Orthodox understanding of a current event like this? And through seeing you handle this, we will then have an example of how we can apply this more
Sure.
generally.
I think, well, you know, we have to recognize that we're not going to necessarily find the orthodox understanding of every particular issue, because within the sort tradition, we're not going to, there's not an encyclopedia that says, when looking for, if the issue is refugees, turn to page 35. That's not going to be the case here. But as Orthodox Christians, we're going, should be, you would think we have these questions and we are concerned about them. So we want to approach it from this perspective of our faith and how our faith and God himself is asking us to respond to a question. So using the life-to-faith life model, a parish could start truly and simply by offering a series of seminars on the situation in the Middle East. There are plenty of local experts in most of our towns, whether a local college or university, for example, or just an aid agencies, you know, such as, you know, Church World Service or IOCC and Catholic Charities, who would probably be willing to come to a parish just to tell you what's really going on there. Where, what's the sources of all these problems? What, so we can understand just what's happening there. Again, almost independently of, you know, anything our faith tradition might say. And then we start to dive into the matter theologically. How do we begin, and I'm just going to, you know, focus on refugees, how do we begin to understand these Syrian, mostly Syrian refugees or refugees from Syria in the Middle East? Do we see them as human beings? How does our faith tradition ask us to look at someone who's different from ourselves? Not Greek, perhaps not Orthodox, perhaps not even Christian. You know, how does our tradition, how does our faith talk about these things? And there we're going to turn to Scripture. We're going to turn to the wisdom of the patristic tradition. We're going to turn to our Byzantine heritage, which was very open, which is a very open society, lots of people, and it was very interested in caring for people. And to look at that, and as best we can, to try to study as many of those as we can, to look at the issues of hospitality, philanthropy, all that kind of stuff. And there are sources out there, there are resources out there, and again, any good student of the, from the seminary or priest would be, should be reasonably familiar with some of that. And then it turns to a discussion, and I think this is where churches are wonderful. Church people are good at asking, well, can't we do something about this? What is it that we can do? And whatever conclusion we come up with, having looked at these questions, and you notice I didn't answer it, I didn't resolve the problem, but I'm allowing people to resolve it for themselves, to say, A, we can raise money to help them. B, maybe we need to go to our congressman to say, we're not comfortable with your policy, either on acceptance or rejecting them. C, are there Syrian refugees or refugees in our own communities that maybe we could help? Or any other solution that a community would want to do to put it into action, so that they can take that next step of not just taking, oh, this is very interesting and it's a very tragic situation, but this is tragic. My faith invites me to do something about it, but to do it from an informed person as an Orthodox Christian, not just because I want to be nice, but I'm doing this because the gospel tells me to care for my neighbor in a particular way and helps me understand who that neighbor is. And then I need to do something about that. And so I as an individual, we as a class, we as a parish, we as a church at large should be able to try to do something about this. And then try it out, see how it's going, and say, well, what aren't we doing well, and how do we begin to understand this more so that we can keep that cycle of learning going and action going as well. So again, you see how the two things are constantly in motion. It's not resolving it once and for all, but constantly in motion, constantly learning from the sources of our faith, but also learning from our experiences and working through them.
Very good. Thank you so much, Dr. Vrain, for all the wonderful information you've provided to us and for being with us today.
Well, thank you very much. I hope I've been helpful, and I look forward to more conversations about these important issues.
Again, Dr. Tony Vrame is the director of the Department of Religious Education for the Greek Orthodox Archdiocese and associate professor at Holy Cross School of Theology in Brookline, Massachusetts. I'm Mike Trout. You're listening to Come Receive the Light, a broadcast ministry of the Orthodox Christian Network. You can listen again to this broadcast when you go to our website at myocn.net and click on the Listen button. That's myocn.net. Next week on Come Receive the Light, we'll talk about the growing influence and outreach of Orthodox Christian music.
In the Middle Ages, there really was no such thing as secular art music. The concept only began to appear in the European Renaissance. But now, 500 years later, there's this vast body of art music. Much of it is not liturgical, but much of it is inspired by Christian themes. So we see that outside the liturgical context, Christianity has a lot to say in her music.
That's next time on this broadcast, Come Receive the Light. In the meantime, remember to always have faith in what you listen to.